They went, yeah. Try to watch that game Saturday. Starts off pretty good, right? And then kickoff commercial. Oh, no. Introductions commercial. Kickoff commercial. I remember Michigan went down, scored a field goal commercial. Ohio State comes back. Kickoff commercial. Ohio State throws an interception. Kickoff commercial. And I didn't say it. My dad actually goes, there's a lot of commercials. I'm like, yeah. So I looked on X and people were like, yeah, Fox, I'd love to be able to watch the game you keep broadcast advertising, but all I see are commercials. In the first 30 minutes of broadcast, they had 20, no, 20 minutes of commercials. Yes.
My
Yes.
gosh.
And the only reason it wasn't more, or the only reason it was that much, is Michigan, ran the ball, kicked the field goal, right? Because you're gonna beat the number one team in the country by kicking field goals and running the bad running plays. Anyways, and soft zone defense. Yeah, that's good. You got the two best wide receivers in the country on the same team, and a freshman quarterback who's actually seemingly pretty good, right? So let's give them soft coverage. It's third and five. Play 10 yards off both receivers. But all I need is 5 yards. Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll tackle them before. No, you won't. You haven't done it all fucking year. But at least I
Wasn't
can
the
say
game
that.
plan, huh?
No, the game plan was not to lose, I guess. But that went out the window quick. The second they kicked that, they got that interception. The second they kicked the field goal, I looked at my dad's like, "It's over." That was the chance to go up 10-0, and then Jordan Marshall going down didn't help. But here's the thing. For the first time in a long time, Ohio State was just better. There's nothing, you can't say anything else about it. They were better. They were better coached, better players, game plan, everything.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where I didn't really watch Michigan a whole lot this year.
Good. I did.
Well, I mean,
Ugh.
I was usually watching Penn State, so
Sorry. Not much
things,
better. So.
yeah, things were not a whole lot better. Or better, if at all. So I didn't, and I honestly, just from your description of them doing this this here Stunt Granny Audio podcast here, I'm just like, I don't think this is gonna be a game. Like, I was like, he just really doesn't seem with it this year. So, and I'd seen enough of Ohio State, and I'm like, as long as they have those receivers, I don't think this is gonna matter. And when they both went, yeah, they're both in the game, I'm like, okay, yeah, this thing's over.
Man, even if they weren't in the game plan was so flawed on defense. I sat through what were they, the 12 games? Yeah, I sat through 12 games of we're gonna blitz somebody who has no chance. No chance to get to the quarterback on time. No chance to actually apply pressure. Hey, we're gonna run the deep safety blitz. They're not gonna get there in time. Yeah, I know. He's gonna come from like center field and come down. It'll surprise him. All they do is just drop it right over the middle where they used to be. Yep. Cool. Good game plan. Good game plan. Holy God. Yeah, I
yeah,
was honestly
that was the
hoping.
vibe I got all year.
Yeah, I looked at my dad. I go, "They're 9-2." I go, "Does it feel like they're 9-2?" And he goes, "No." I'm like, "Yeah, they got lucky to beat Northwestern. They just scuttled about with Purdue, and so I never had a good feeling for this one. But whatever.
Yeah,
Ohio
you
State
never
finally figured
know.
out not to tank. So,
Yeah,
more
yeah.
power
You
to
know,
them.
yeah, I was gonna say you never know.
I mean, I'm not, but I'm also not one of these guys that's like fire Sharon Moore, the sky's falling, all this stuff, like a bunch of these fucking dunderheads are doing. It's like, just cut it out. Get rid of Wink Martindale. Enough of him. I was seriously hoping DJ Durkin, who was a interim coach for Auburn, He would have come back to Michigan as a defensive coordinator. I would have liked that. Auburn's defense was decent, as bad as they were. So it's like you've
Oh
got
yeah,
some real
they
tools.
did not seem to be the problem in
No.
that pairing.
It was hiring Hugh Freeze thinking he was going to make a difference.
Yeah, Auburn's just that's a weird school.
Dude, all right. So this all this
It's
coaching stuff.
been important and not important for long stretches in our lives.
Was the last time they were important was what, Cam Newton, right?
Yeah, and
Griffin.
I feel like they had a couple of teams after Newton that hung in there.
Exactly. Hung in there. Yeah.
But then you could tell the decline was coming, I guess.
Yeah. No matter who the coach is, was it Gus Malzahn or was he just the offensive coordinator?
And I feel like they blow through, like Auburn feels like they've blown through coaches like every other year.
Like LSU? But they got their man now.
Well, wasn't Brian Kelly there actually there for like 6 years or something like
No,
that?
three. That was year three. Yeah, it wasn't that
Oh my
long.
gosh.
Yeah, I believe this was year three. Yes.
Okay.
Which that was a horrible hire, anyways. The guy's a Midwest guy through and through. He was a Grand Valley State, Central Michigan. No, was it Central Michigan? No, Cincinnati. And then he goes to Notre Dame. Well, what makes you think he's going down to Louisiana with his northern ass and is gonna like recruit down there? Like, are you crazy? Let alone like become part of the culture, that nonsense they try and perpetrate with all these SEC schools. So I like the coaching stuff, like Michigan State firing their coach. They hired a guy, and it's total Sparty. They hire a guy that builds a culture and builds a team, like rebuilds, and they fire him in year two. Good. I'm glad they did. Idiots. He was a bad fit. Don't get me wrong. He should have never been hired there.
Oh,
But
right.
hiring Pat Fitzgerald, the guy that got run out of Northwestern for alleged player abuse. And
Oh, is
then
that who
go,
they hired as the coach?
yes. He's set
Oh,
to make,
jeez.
with incentives, I think almost $35 million. And then so I just saw another coach that could possibly make that much. I'm going, this the I sound like one of these guys I know, but I think it's true now. The coaching pay is outrageous and not it's not worth it. Like none of these guys. None of them. Well, I'm sorry. Nick Saban sure was. I will say that. Dabo Sweeney was for a while. I'd say Kirby Smart probably is worth all the money he's getting paid. But oh yeah, speaking of coaches, this is why I want to talk football a little bit. So how's your football weekend?
It was a rough one.
Yeah.
That was an unenjoyable weekend for the Steelers. The actual fire Tomlin chant in the stadium during the game is something that hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
It is somewhat wild to me that he literally could have his first ever losing season and get fired, possibly. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, it's not completely out of the question. Like, yeah, I feel like you should be allowed more mistakes. I don't understand in some ways. There weren't good quarterbacks in two of the three drafts since Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, they had that 1 year of all those quarterbacks going. What, last year, right? No, 2 years ago.
Well, last year was considered a bad year. The year the Steelers picked Kenny Pickett was considered a bad year because Pickett was the first quarterback off the Off the board, it whatever the Steelers' natural pick was that year, like 25 or something like that.
Yeah.
They, I, your quarterback at least has to have enough skill to fit into some type of a system like a Brock Purdy type. Or you've got to have like a superstar quarterback, you know, whether you want the Lamar Jackson type, just because it happened to the Steelers this weekend, the Josh Allen type. There's a variety out there, and the Steelers just have not had that. Roethlisberger's last year was pretty bad because his elbow was shot really
Yeah.
for that whole season. Like, Tomlin hasn't had, people are like, oh man, he just screws up quarterbacks. And I'm like, okay, Kenny Pickett sat behind Jalen Hurts, even though everyone in Philadelphia hates Jalen Hurts. So he does nothing there. It goes to Cleveland, has a chance to compete. Evidently hurts himself and doesn't. They end up signing Joe Flacco. He goes to the Raiders. Evidently, Geno Smith is terrible. They still haven't put Kenny Pickett in.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. Yeah.
You know, like, it at some point, the quarterback problem that Tomlin has isn't on Tomlin. Like, Mason Rudolph went somewhere else, and he didn't fully get the job done there either. Aaron Rodgers is their best option. It's still not a good option.
No. Nope.
God bless him and Flacco. You can tell that neither of them wants to get hit anymore. And I don't blame them. I think we've talked about it on the podcast before. I am not going into a real live, what I would have called a mosh pit, at any time in which these days. My body does not want to tolerate it, and I am older than those gentlemen. And I called it quits around their age because it did not feel good on my body anymore. And it's just like, do I need to do this? Nah. Can I still just enjoy heavy metal? Yeah. Okay. Great. 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 This sounds awesome. I'm gonna do that. You know,
Yeah.
and the again, even though Rodgers is the best, he's the best of a lot of bad choices. I don't know how you consistently win in the NFL without, again, like, you at least need a Brock Purdy. Like, that to me is the floor, and he's a pretty good quarterback.
I'm looking at the drafts from 24 and 25. When was Roethlisberger retired? 22?
I'll
Right?
need to look that
Yeah.
up because they've had maybe 3 years here,
Okay.
at least.
It's crazy because like 24 had all the quarterbacks go in like the first 10 picks. Williams, Daniels, Drake May. Like the first two were still out to lunch. You know, Daniels getting hurt didn't help. What else? And then you had
Oh,
Penix Jr.
yes.
goes to Atlanta, and then McCarthy goes to Minnesota. Bo Nix goes to Denver. Like they're all off the board before Pittsburgh can get to somebody. But you can say they should have traded up. All right, whatever.
Yeah,
Last year,
because what year was that?
I was 24.
Okay.
So like last year's draft or this year's draft, I should say. Like Cam Ward goes first. Okay. And then another quarterback doesn't go until Jackson Dart to the Giants at 25.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
Pittsburgh passed him up. All right, fine. And then Tyler Shough or Show.
Shuck. is actually how that's
Really?
pronunciated.
All right.
It would not have known
English is
if I did
stupid.
not listen. Yeah, yes, it
Yeah.
is.
Yeah. And then there's another quarterback taken until, oh my God. Still going. I'm in the third round.
What, Dell Dylan Gabriel in the third round by the Browns?
Yeah, and then thank you because I skipped that one. Dylan Gabriel, then Jared Wilson from Georgia. Okay.
Oh.
What? Wait, no, I'm sorry. He's a center. Never mind. My bad. Wikipedia is actually pretty helpful for this. Yeah. And then I think the next quarterback taken was Shedeur Sanders, right? By also the Browns.
Yeah.
So it's like those were your choices in 24 and 25. I mean, after the first round gets raided, and really all those guys in 24 are still out to lunch. I never thought McCarthy was going to work out in the NFL as much as he was beloved at Michigan. So I think Minnesota just has what they have with him. So
Okay, so
Penix is Penix.
yeah, I'm shocked. I can't believe it. A guy that's torn three ACLs tore his ACL again.
Yeah.
Like,
So,
okay.
yeah. So, it's not that
Okay,
easy, but.
so Roethlisberger played in 21.
Okay.
So the 22, 23, 24. And I guess 25 drafts.
Yeah. And it's also like,
Two
it's it.
2 years, they were terrible quarterback drafts. And I'm
Yeah.
looking at 20,
22 was Pickett.
2022.
That was Pickett.
Was that?
Yeah. So, and he was the first quarterback taken.
Hold on, where?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So they tried to replace him immediately. It
Yeah, I
failed.
know.
And again, like, if that, going back to the Tomlin mishandles quarterback thing, A, Roethlisberger was fine. People are like, oh, well, he needs a Hall of Fame level quarterback. It's just like everyone needs a Hall of Fame level quarterback.
Yeah, no
What,
shit.
do you think Andy Reid is working with a fucking bum in Kansas City? Fuck out of here. Do
Yeah.
you think that Bill Belichick was working with a bum in New England? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I know a lot of people will always bring up, well, Trent Dilfer's got a ring.
It's
Yeah, okay. But
one Super Bowl in the late 90s when it's not what it is now.
yeah, exactly. And like people make
Yeah.
fun of Joe Flacco, okay, whatever. But it's like, yeah, the game's different now. It is such an offensive league. The rules are totally skewed towards them when the referees understand how to call the rules, which is a huge problem. And then like just watching the Lions on Thanksgiving piss away their season and then seeing the referees mishandle calls. You're like, all right, don't be like that. And then you watch a game in Dallas and they're mishandling calls. Then you watch the Ravens and Bengals, more bad calls. And then last night, and we're doing this on Tuesday, we're seeing, no, I'm sorry, it was Sunday night. Wasn't that the, or was that yesterday? Giants and Broncos. Well, they did everything. I think it was Giants and Broncos. No, Washington and the Broncos. Well, they were doing everything in their power to make sure Washington can't get run down the field. They called illegal or grounding call when it shouldn't have been called a grounding. You know, they usually go to the guys, the retired officials in the booth,
Oh,
and he goes, yeah,
yeah.
and they was like, yeah, guys, that's not a penalty. I don't know what they're talking about. He goes, by rule, and I'm like, oh boy. So, oh, and real quick to go
Yeah.
back to the Michigan Ohio State game, they fucked up that whole replay. That should have been a touchback. By the way, it wouldn't have mattered whatsoever. So they would have just scored later. So yeah, I'm not hearing any nonsense. My dad comes like, well, you know, it's a momentum change. Yeah, it is. Okay. Like, but they would have just pissed it away. Another 10-yard punt. So yeah, that actually
Yeah,
happened.
you've got to
So
score more than 9 points for
yes.
you for me to accept such arguments.
Yeah. So Especially when your number two running back goes down, you know?
If you lose like 22, since it's nine's a weird number anyway, like 22 to 27, you're like, okay, yeah, that was the momentum switch that
Right.
really made the difference.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah.
in
So
other cases, it's just like, nah, man, that was just a check mark on a long list of problems with this one.
yeah. It's like they're the youngest team in the Big Ten. Cool. You get spoiled, man. That I was telling, like that Michigan team that won the championship and then all went to the NFL. That's the last of a dying breed. I mean, that's really before the NIL and like the transfer portal really blew up. It was right after that season. It was when everything really took off. So you're not going to get those teams where it's the same solid team for 4 years, basically, three, four. Like those days are just over. So. But yeah, so I got home in time just to watch Survivor Series. So I guess we can start there.
I mean, hey, it's a premium live event. It's the now always happens for Kevin. Goodbye, SmackDown. You are not being watched this week.
No.
I instead am watching a much longer version of your programming on. Well, you
Man.
know what? Because they only had four matches, didn't feel that bad.
Well, I think that the show wasn't bad, okay? But for a premium live event, it was underwhelming as hell. The women's match ended. I was like, that's it? The men's match ends. You're like, okay, here comes something else afterwards. That's it? You know, like nothing happened. And did you see the videos of people booing after the main event ended?
Oh no.
Yeah, like that crowd wasn't happy. And
Yeah, well, that was one thing that I think you touched on it there a little bit, that both of them, when the War Games match started for both of them, like, I know that they've all been in there a while just because of the nature of the match.
yeah.
It still feels like it could have been longer in both situations. The women's felt better to me as an overall whole, as far as time after the cage was officially closed and the match began. I'm not completely sure. It's just kind of a feeling, but the men's match, it just ended so quick, and the fact that, yeah, there wasn't a reveal about the interference,
Yeah.
and even on Raw afterwards, since you got to kind of tie it in, it was mentioned, but I also felt like very downplayed for some reason.
I think they don't know who they want it to be now. Because it wasn't Seth, obviously, but he's been talking about coming back, that he may be ready for Mania. So they could make have it be it was actually him. You know, it's not, but you know, that was him. Why or how or why that he would do that doesn't make any sense. But you know, whatever.
So that he can take the championship from Braun Breaker, who stole it from him.
But wouldn't you just want to take it from Punk because you hate his guts?
Yeah, it
I know.
really works both ways for him. And I did laugh when the masked man came into the ring. I laughed that neither Braun Breaker nor CM Punk stood up, as if to like purposefully like not give away a comparison to how big this person was,
Yeah.
so that you can't compare him to Seth Rollins. But that gentleman, whomever it was, definitely looked broader in the shoulders to me
Yeah.
than
I
Rollins.
believe it was Austin Theory that did the run in. So,
That would make sense. Like body type wise,
yeah.
that checks out for
Yeah.
me.
Well, he was rumored to be in that match originally. So,
Okay, then.
because he's supposed to be part of the Vision eventually. So, suppose that was the original plan.
Oh, okay.
And it made sense because he used to be under, he was with Seth a long time ago, too. You got a ball of the
Oh.
young upstarts, and look what it's done for Braun and, wait, sorry, Bronson and Braun. But man, it's Vince is right. So it's just, you can't have them together, the bras. But,
It does feel weird, rolling off the mouth. Like I still, even though they've been their own group, it feels weird to have that similar a name on the team together.
Yeah, but no, like Survivor Series would, like you said, an extended SmackDown. That's all this was. I mean, Stephanie
Uh-oh.
Vaquer, all right, I'll just get this one out of the way. Stephanie Vaquer and Nikki Bella had a fine match.
Yeah,
That's really all there was. It was fine. One bad, one
just
great.
because of the lack of number of matches, it might have been my favorite one just because we didn't have to worry about any real shenanigans, and it was the only match that was just a straight up wrestling match.
Yeah. And I enjoyed this, but it didn't ring special. I mean, I'm not a huge
Oh.
Bella fan to begin with. Never
Yeah.
have been, but I give her credit, and maybe it's because of her neck issue she didn't do this, but I've been saying doing the devil's kiss and they're flailing their arms like a dead fish takes away from the move. Nikki Bella didn't flail her arms, and that move looked far more vicious because you're not concentrating on the arms flailing. I mean,
Well,
you're obviously,
yeah,
well,
her
yeah, I know.
arms were all, I did like how her arms were all over the place. Like she did flop some, but she also like landed like almost in a not down dogs situation, but yeah, like
Know
kind
what
of
you
a
mean.
praying
Yeah.
so
It looked vicious. Like she's bashing this woman's face in, like
yeah.
her head. And then she did it in the ring too. And I'm like, woo. So, and then it just ended, which it should
Yep.
have. Stephanie Vaquer shouldn't have lost. So good. That's what should have happened.
Yeah, as much as I know Chris and I talked about this, since we're usually the ones covering the main roster, Nikki's still in a weird spot, but I still think she can bounce back as a heel more than she can as a baby face. So,
Yeah, I.
but she doesn't really need to bounce back, honestly. Like, just put her in feuds with people. Or move her to the tag division, and we can maybe get to that later because that's more of a Raw thing than a.
Yeah, and we'll get to it,
Yeah.
but it's like the John Cena and Dom was, I was surprised Dom won, but as soon as all the interference started, I was like, oh, okay. The only part I really despised is they're wrestling, the referee goes down, and they hit Liv Morgan's music. And everyone just stops. Like, just keep going. I know it's wrestling, but what are you doing? Why is she getting an entrance to interfere?
yeah, Finn and JD did not get music.
Right.
Neither did Roxanne and Raquel.
Yeah, and neither did the mask guy. I know. But,
Hey,
it's just
you're correct.
silly. It's
She is the
just
only one that
dumb.
got music to come out.
Yeah, and it's like, why not? I mean, I guess they don't want to do two masked people interfering, but why not have Liv just pop out from under the ring or just come running down anyways?
Oh,
Because you know what? The crowd's going to know who she is because they sure
that,
as hell did without music. And then.
that was the only part of this that I didn't like. I hate the way the interference worked for her.
I didn't like how the
Just,
interference worked in general because you knew it was coming. I guess.
Well, and it was the referee was dead in this situation.
Yeah, the
You know,
severity of referee death is just getting obnoxiously impossible to deal with. You know, he didn't take that hard of a bump to be dead for 15 minutes or whatever it was.
yeah,
Ugh.
like for the amount of interference that happened within this match proper. Because I mean, Raquel and Roxanne both hit finishers on him before the referee recovered in the first instance, and
Yeah.
Finn and JD really mugged him before Dom took back over. And
Well,
they
they
finally
tried.
walked. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just think
Oh.
Liv like popping out of the stands is far more of a like, oh, moment, like wait, what? And then obviously everyone just
Yeah.
realizes, oh my God, it's Liv. And then they can go crazy. Not announce like my triumphant return. It's like that stupid ass Travis Scott. That was his name, right?
Yeah.
Travis Scott. The music starts. He just walks down during WrestleMania. Everyone just stops and is like, "Oh, what's all this about? Like, keep wrestling, stupid." Like, this is dumb. And John Cena should have known, but there's.
Yeah, John Cena really should have been smart enough to know to at least have a little bit of backup for this situation.
This is face Cena again. So I'm overly hammy and
Oh.
expressive for no reason. Like Liv does back there. He's like, oh, okay, John. We've seen him act. And this is how he acts as a good guy. Like, you're not a good guy. You're not trying.
It is weird. I feel like you could do better now, dude. Like I think you're better than this.
But that's the John
But
Cena character.
it is the
So
John Cena character. So that's
doesn't
why
give
I
a
don't
flying rip.
yeah, that's why I don't really bag on it all. Like that,
No.
whatever,
I just
man. He's
pointed it out
gonna
that
yeah.
they live turn an evil face. Those are eyes. I don't know if she had contacts in or what was going on with her eyes, but I was like, God damn, she looks evil. And
Yeah, that was the part that killed me. Just walk in and kick John Cena in the balls. Like, what are we doing here? Like, it's such a nothing of a turn. She slaps him,
yeah.
hugs Cena, and then flips the switch. Just like, what did that do?
Okay, so what they
Is that the
blew.
only way she could have gotten to Cena? It's just like, I mean, you said it. Like, Cena was already sitting there, mouth agape, like a moron.
Yeah.
She just needed to walk up to him and kick him right in the nuts, like she did
Yeah,
anyway.
yeah.
Like, say, let's save a step. Save your boyfriend from getting slapped. Like, what the fuck?
That's her thing. That's what I was going to say. So they didn't show it on TV. That's her thing now. So she slaps Dom, does her thing with Cena. Dom wins. They go into the aisle, right? They're celebrating. The
Yeah.
camera was on something else. She was slapping Dom while he's holding her. That's her thing now. She slaps Dom around and he must like it because she did the same thing on Monday night. It's a weird
Oh.
S&M thing, I guess they're doing. So, okay. And by the way, Liv is a breath of fresh air. That girl is so believable, but I'm sure she's not actually this evil. God, I hope not. That it's just like, a realistic person. Like, it's just great. I'm glad she's back, and I'm glad like they
Yeah.
seemingly are going to keep Judgment Day the size, but we'll get to that in a second. But
Oh.
the War
Yeah.
Games matches, the women's whatever, like Io got her spot in. You know how much I hate when everyone stands around waiting for someone to jump on them. I hate that stuff. And
Yeah, not definitely not my favorite
no.
of the spots that she's done.
Yeah.
Getting a little too contrived for my
Yeah.
liking.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's dangerous, of course, but I don't really care. Yeah. I just didn't care. I didn't care about this match. It didn't mean anything. And I guess that's the problem with both of these matches. Neither one of these matches meant a thing. It like they were thrown together. Like, why are all the women fighting in this? Like, Lash Legend and Nia Jax have a problem so bad with everybody that they're putting them in a cage? Like,
Everyone did
what?
the it's just because we're on the other team,
Yeah.
and that is not a great motive.
No, it's
Not a
definitely
great
not.
motive at all for something called War Games. Like,
Well,
this and the other thing is, though, I kind of understand because the plans that had been laid for the most part for both of these got dynamited through various injuries. So what do you do?
yeah, and then
Seth Rollins at least being a third for the Vision team makes the men's match at least mean something. Like
right.
if they bring in, I wouldn't have been surprised if they bring in Logan Paul and Brock Lesnar still at that point. Like why wouldn't
Yeah.
they?
And we'll talk about Brock in a second too, but the men's match was like some people were doing their one thing, some people were doing the other. I mean, like Punk of course bleeds, Cody of course bleeds. And they're having all this vicious stuff, this fighting, and then all of a sudden in the middle of it, they start doing a yeet. And I know a lot of people didn't like this. I'm with them. That was stupid. Like, it's you're supposed to be so hateful with the other people in the ring that you want to keep beating the hell out of them. Instead, Jay like starts doing his yeet stuff and then they roll it back. I'm like, what are we doing here? And then the baddest fucker in the place shows up. Jay does have a very good facial expression for it. And then it's back to being a regular Matt. And I'm like, okay, I don't dig this at all. And it's not because I watch Blood and Guts. No. There's a happy medium between the two of them, by the way. But both men and women.
Oh yeah, I
So.
mean the WWE has definitely had. Well, I mean, I guess I can't really compare a Hell in a Cell match with Blood and Guts just because at least War Games, the Blood and Guts is it's basically the same match.
I like the lack of
But.
weapons. That's one thing I did not like about Blood and Guts. Everyone bringing in a goddamn chair or baseball. Like, it's just, it was stupid.
They did stick to the usual stuff in this match. Tables, chairs. I don't feel like any ladders got busted out.
No, there was no table in the last match, I don't think. That's why people were booing too. I don't think they ever gave him a table. I
Yeah,
don't remember.
one of the Usos got a
Okay.
table out.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of something else then. They're calling for tables for something else and maybe it was Monday. Anyways, never mind.
No.
So, but no, it's just
Yeah.
like the War Games thing just seemed like it was just forced. And
Yeah.
like Triple H was like, well, we're not going to use Hell in a Cell because that's like the pinnacle of stuff. Okay. Hey, how about you do the same thing with this? And come up with something different for Survivor Series, like this isn't worth it. It did not get resoundingly good reviews or a whole lot of positivity out of it, but
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like it seems like it's one of those events that you need to have floating on purpose, just because you can't really predict when you're going to have a good team versus team moment, just
right.
because of things like Seth Rollins' injury. Like sometimes trying to force it into the November's time for Survivor Series, I
Yeah.
think is the main problem.
Yeah. Well, injury for sure, but then also with so many different events, it's hard to keep that momentum now. And you can definitely see it. Like I'm sure that's why there are only four matches because they gotta save stuff for over here. But like I was trying to think of like how they could have built this
Yeah.
different because everybody on one side doesn't like CM Punk. Like Logan Paul doesn't like him. Bron Breakker doesn't like him. Bronson Reed didn't really interact with him, but sure, I don't like him either. Seth doesn't like him. And then Brock probably doesn't like him either. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
But on the other side, I mean, Cody at least explained, well, Jay's my boy, so that's why I'm going to be here for him. But then Cody kind of took over talking about how he beat everyone's ass. So it's like, oh God, this is,
Well, was that the only interesting thing? I kind of forgot about that part until you just mentioned it. But Cody, because Roman after the match, after the after Braun Breaker pins CM Punk, just since that is important for Raw, what the hell? Oh. Yeah, Roman Reigns is just kind of standing there with the two champions, and him and CM Punk kind of like shrug at each other and then kind of do a very light fist bump.
Which, why? But anyways.
I guess they're okay just doing business with each, like they know that they're just doing business with each other and they're kind of okay with that stance. I think.
Okay, I guess.
I think that's what's going on there. But then yeah, he goes to Cody Rhodes then, and yeah, things did not shake out well there. And I'm not surprised. Like there isn't a lot going on SmackDown, and Cody and the Roman could run it back. Like it's
Yeah, we're probably going to be there too. So to me, it felt like this was reversed. He should have been like, ugh, to Punk and like gave the fist bump to Cody. Because remember, Cody helped him out after their match. That was the big point of contention with Kevin Owens. Remember? They had
Oh.
that bad blood. They had that tag team match. And it was like, what's this about?
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about the moment. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on here because he doesn't have any reason to hate him.
No, not
And I
anymore. I mean,
don't
I guess
and
he's got
no,
his title.
nothing yeah, and nothing in the match made that change. Like it wasn't like Cody Rhodes accidentally a crossroads reigns in the middle of the ring or something like that, where
Where?
you can kind of understand where there might be some beef going on.
Well, I mean, Cody elbowed CM Punk.
You so yeah, if those two have a beef after the match, so be it, but they didn't.
No. And it was a, that's what I said. Like, some people seem like they were on their own, like a different path. Like, Cody and Punk have that moment and they handle it like adults. Like, no, I'm sorry. I guess plant the seeds for Cody turning or something. I don't know. But like,
And then that's the weird thing. If you have Roman and Cody, it's just you have two baby faces, and it's a really weird dynamic because in no way have they really. I feel like the idea of Cody being a heel has been floated. I don't think they've outwardly really done anything to change his character to even hint at that.
No, it's just people, certain places like to boo him. Sure. Certain people, certain crowds, because of they like somebody else better, which is always so perplexing. Crowds will, it's the John Cena thing. Crowds will love Cody. The next week they boo him. But yet he's always in the top five for merch, if not the top two. So for people booing him, he sure certainly sells a lot of stuff. You know? Like John Cena, everyone booing him while you're wearing a John Cena shirt. Like you don't make
Yeah.
sense. But no, like to me, the more interesting match anyways is CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. Be completely honest,
Oh.
it's new. I don't, we've never had that, have we? A
I
one
do
on
not
one.
believe.
So,
Yeah, 'cause I mean that was his prote the shield was his protection, and then didn't he leave after that? Wasn't that when Punk left?
well, they had already broken away from him by then, but
Oh, okay.
yeah, I mean, that's how they're supposed to be. So, but yeah, so I don't know, we'll see what happens. But all signs kind of point towards Cody and Roman again, which is not going to help the critics of Triple H's booking and, show philosophy much. It's not. You can't run back again. You hit gold twice. But we're far from that now. So we'll see. But
It doesn't really solve the Cody's title reign has been lackluster again if you just bounce it back to
yeah.
Reigns.
And then real quick before we go into Raw, Brock Lesnar's miscast. He's not a bad guy. He's not. Look at what he does. Yeah, he can't. He comes out, attacks R-Truth, right? Months ago. And, or Ron Cena, excuse me, Ron Cena. And F-5s him, splits his pants, looks down, is like, look what I did. And then does it again. And then points out that he split his pants, played it off like nothing. Crowd's cheering him. Comes out, what, last Monday? Falls over doing his signature thing, gets up, laughs at himself, puts the hat on Paul, and has a good old time. Crowd's cheering for him. He comes out Saturday. Crowd's cheering for him. After the match, the big bad guy, right, is talking blatantly, talking to a little girl or little boy with cancer. Like, yeah, talking, like having a conversation. Everyone else is like in character, cheer, like doing their thing. And he's like, psst, and just does his own thing. Who's gonna boo this guy? Why? Give me a reason to boo him. Because he goes against someone I like more, which I don't. So.
It's weird where I think Brock Lesnar has gotten to that status we've talked about with some other people.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
He's kind of getting like Randy Orton, where like I mean that man has been back for a long like this second run has probably been like twice the length of the first one, if not more than that.
Yeah. And I just, how am I supposed to, like, it's the badass thing, which, well, the perfect time to move the Monday. People don't want to boo badasses. Everyone sees Brock Lesnar. He's the baddest fucker in wrestling. He clobbers everyone and does it like an animal. I'm supposed to boo that? Oh, and by the way, he has time to like take time out to like talk to kids, like little cancer kids or whatever. I believe the person he was talking to was legitimately
I feel
somebody
like
with.
you'd make fun of John Cena for doing this, sir. Feel like there's a little bit of a double standard in your standards.
But I think John Cena's not the baddest guy in the room, though. You know what I mean?
That is true.
Yeah, I mean, well, John Cena, all our jokes off the air about it. But like,
I'm sure there are some in
oh yeah,
the
but no, like if yeah, but if John Cena was the baddest guy around, sure, I wouldn't make fun of him. Like, wow, look at what this guy's doing. But yeah, Brock just goes into business for himself, and you know what? People like it. So stop trying to make us boo him. Just let him be a badass. And, well, when he comes back, so. But, all right. So we got Monday Night Raw. Let's just start with the big news. That Bron Breakker promo, I'm seeing people turning on it already. Saying it wasn't,
Really?
yes, saying it wasn't good. That, oh, this is, if you guys like this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is why when Triple H says we don't cater to an internet wrestling fan, I get it. What can you possibly be happy with if you didn't like this?
I saw a similar comment that it goes back to pay-per-view topic, but that wrestle forums that I get, someone's like, I mean, I understand about the looks of Stephanie Vaquer, but is there anything else to enjoy about her? And I'm just like,
Oh my God, really?
I'm moving along, sir. Like you're talking about not booking to the internet audience. I'm like, he cuts good promos and is a good wrestler. Like, I'm confused here. Yes, she's also gorgeous, but like,
Yeah, that
come on,
does
man. Like,
help.
she it helps a
Badass
lot.
reason.
Yeah, does
Like my,
it not a deterrent
that face is
for
gorgeous.
popular.
She's all thick and stuff. She talks,
Yeah.
she wrestles, sir, whatever. But yeah, but no, it's like, yeah, her promos aren't the greatest. Well, you know what? Tell me to say something in French. I'm going to sound a lot worse than she, or wait, was she from Peru? No.
No,
Chile?
she
Somewhere down there.
no, you know, I now I've lost Chile.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Give me something Chilean or
But
Portuguese,
yeah.
whatever she speaks. I'm going to sound like her trying to speak English. It's not because I'm stupid or I can't cut a promo. It's because, well, I don't speak that language.
Yeah, that is
So,
not my native language. Like,
God.
deal with it.
Is it hypocritical for of us to like bag on internet fans when we're doing a show that we're just two internet fans?
No, because some motherfuckers just don't have common sense. And
Yeah.
it's both A and regular sports fans, which we kicked off the show with,
Yeah.
it's just like, come on, man. Like, at least be a little bit practical, 'cause that's actually something I could talk to you about afterwards
Okay.
here.
Oh, we have plenty to talk about afterwards. So, but no, man, that Braun Breaker stuff, I don't.
But oh yeah, to
It,
get back to that.
wow.
That is wild. Like
It's just a wild reign.
again, like I don't need it to be a 15-minute, like I don't know if that's what that person is looking for, to be frank with you. Like, or is that what they're really, or are they looking for a 15-minute promo? Like, what else are they looking for
I
out of this whole situation? Like,
read somebody said the way his voice cracked at the end, and I was like, have you never been mad? Like, have you never been heated in your life? To where you're so angry, your voice takes on a totally different octave. I hope you haven't. I hope you haven't. But
Yeah, it would be really weird if you had not had that happen, to be honest
know.
with you.
Some people are just emotionless or bottle it
maybe
up.
they've maybe they've forgotten.
Yeah, but it's like the but it like he stammered on some words. It wasn't smooth, and I was like, that's what makes it good. Like,
Yeah, it goes back
it,
to I always remember Opie kind of talking about that on Opie and Anthony, where sometimes the screw ups are what make, like you said, like the screw ups are what makes it good. Like,
yeah.
it doesn't need to be perfect. Like, I do think that Michael Cole is overplaying it by saying stuff like he's a French fry short of a Happy Meal. Like, but there is also at least some element that they are playing into where he is not the mastermind of the group. He just wants to go out and smash. And again, like, people like that. So it's not going to be a problem with him getting over. Well, quite frankly, it's doing the opposite. It is helping him get over.
Yeah, he was already over. It's just,
Yeah.
I mean, all right, we know his genes, right? Rick was not the talker. Scott was. But Scott also sounded like a raving lunatic most of the time. It sounded like, and I think I said it in our chat last night, that was a dangerous promo because you could see him getting, like, going somewhere, and you're like, he's going to start swearing. Like, he's going to start swearing like words that they really don't want him to use. And I thought it was like him losing a train of thought, him not being able to find what camera to look at. Like, if you're that incensed, you're not looking to be smooth, and nor should you. And I think that's what made it great. And I one criticism somebody I read said, well, wait, we rip on Roman for saying suffer and succotash, but we're letting it's awesome when Braun says la-di-da. Yeah, there's a difference. There's a gigantic difference. Because
Oh my
Braun's
gosh.
Yeah,
Like,
bronze will say
why do you
fuck
think
you.
those are equivalent?
It's the internet. So when he did the la-di-da thing, I was like, what? Like, uh-oh, here it comes. Like, that's it's a Scott promo, and it's not nearly as unhinged as Scott's were, but it definitely had
Yeah,
that madness behind it. And
it's hard to reach that kind of level,
yeah,
the Scott level
especially
of crazy.
nowadays. But it's like he brings up real life. He's been
Oh,
bottled up too. So
that was the only thing that the crowd reacted for it, so that's honestly all that matters. I also
yes.
just, I'm like, we've been over like a lot of these points already, so like it's nothing new here. He is not treading new territory.
Yeah. And then the one thing I don't think anyone's talking about, though, and I'm pretty sure this is what happened when he slammed the mic down, I believe it bounced and Logan Paul caught it. And
No.
then that's when he went, damn, like that. Because Paul Heyman looked at him like, wow. Like, yeah, it bounced. He caught it. So I'd love to see if that was actually what happened. Because I don't remember Logan Paul having a mic. Because I think they were passing it around. But I also like the unity of the whole thing, which is another part that got lost. Logan Paul didn't look jealous. Bronson Reed looked like, hell yeah, dude. Like, yeah,
Oh,
go get it. And
yeah.
it's the perfect setup if they do it right. They can actually break the vision up by having Bronson Reed or Logan Paul, whatever, be like, I'm going after Cody. They're like, go get it. We got our bag. You know,
Oh,
it's a refreshing way of doing this, and then
yeah.
actually have a team that legitimately does run everything, unlike Judgment Day.
What? How dare you, sir? How dare you?
So, but no, I love the Bronson thing. I thought Raw was far better than Survivor Series, but
The
whatever. So,
Braun thing.
I love both of it. I'm still a big Bronson Reed fan too. So, but.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Logan Paul actually doesn't. I think this is good for him. His promo's a little goofy when he keeps calling everyone stupid. Like, come on. Like, is that what we're doing here? But.
That's starting to get a little MJF almost too
Yeah.
80s-ish, even for my taste.
But I also, Logan Paul, like, he's doing that. But you see him, like, people booing him. He's like. What did I do? And then he opens his mouth and they boo. And you're like, that's what you did. And then getting Ray's face backstage. Ray's another one. You pick on Ray, you're automatically a bad guy. Maybe that's what Brock Lesnar should do. Maybe that'll get him to boo Brock Lesnar. It won't, because he'll
No.
throw Ray around like a bag of feathers. So I almost said trash. I was like, well, that's mean. But.
The trash could be heavier.
Yeah, but it's like I'm no way equating Rey Mysterio to trash, that's for sure. So, but
I mean, he is a deadbeat dad.
that's very true. But okay, let's analyze this then. Ray's such a deadbeat dad that his son is a double champion. Yeah, I'm pretty sure his parenting worked out pretty well. You know, he made the sacrifices for Dom, and then Dom had to find his own path. Based off of the teachings of his dad. So I don't really buy the deadbeat dad thing. I don't think he means it. But yeah, no, I
I
thought
mean,
Raw
really
was,
has worked out for Dom.
it really has. Someone showed a pic, so I saw a picture of Dom when he was, coming up, jobbing out to Veer Mahan.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how far he's come. So. But no, like, what'd you think of the Judgment Day thing? Didn't it seem like they were kind of primed for a breakup?
Oh my God. It is just dawning on me that I have a gap of maybe like 30 minutes
Oh no.
on Raw.
Oh, did you not see this?
And that is something that just dawning on me. I didn't even watch it in the background
Oh,
here, which is
okay.
what I occasionally do.
Well,
I should have snuck that past that half hour in.
I'll let you watch it, but I'll just give you the rundown real quick, and then my thoughts when we move on to that awesome Gunther match. Liv comes out after, they brag. Dom thanks everybody. Liv comes out. Liv's the leader. I thought it was clear as day. Liv is the leader. And even Finn was just in the background, like, I'm getting kicked out. Because she was talking about, things need to change. That they're saying Judgment Day is the wrong things. And like, what's going on here? And you can see Finn's face, like, oh, I'm a big shit. And then it just ends. But it was clear as day that.
Oh, that was the only, legitimately the only thing
Well,
I
that's
didn't
funny.
watch.
But to me, it seemed clear as day Liv
Yeah,
was the leader. And then the way the show ends, where she gives Roxanne the belt and goes, no, you guys go get this because she's going to go after Stephanie Vaquer now.
that makes, if you're going to keep them together, moving Roxanne to the tag team with Raquel makes way more sense and gives them, like you said, like if they really do want Judgment Day to run things, quote unquote, them being women's tag team champions is always a pretty open championship to capture.
Right.
Whether it happens or not, we'll see, just because holy smokes, they have a lot of superstar teams if they're going to keep them all together.
Yeah. And my thing is, after the end of the night and with that segment, I can see the Judgment Day continuing as just the women and Dom. Like a fluid group. JD and Finn getting kicked out because Liz's presence is huge. So
Yeah, it kept on feeling like they were waiting for Liv to come back to pull the trigger on something. It felt like they were doing a, and that's the other thing that was kind of weird, and also the other reason why I didn't really buy into the whole slap there. They did not play up Dom with Rox. Like, they had started to play that up again in the last couple of weeks, but they also didn't play it up enough that I'm like, oh man, Dom's in trouble here. You know, like Dom stepped over a line and did something he shouldn't have, and Liv's going to be mad about this. Like, he never got to that stage. So it's just, yeah, okay. But yeah, I mean, yeah, Finn and JD are just, yeah, I don't think Finn's ever recapturing the main championship vibe for himself. And I don't, as much as they've pushed JD McDonagh, and the fact that it's dawned on me that he is bigger than more wrestlers than I thought.
Yeah.
But I still don't know. Like, he's still to me not big enough to be like, oh, okay. Like, he's gonna be one of those main event guys. Like, he's still getting a push because of I nearly died and gutted out the rest of the match. You can only live on that for so long, though.
Yeah. I think JD McDonald's just a trusted guy now too. He's been in
Oh,
the ring
for
with some
sure.
guys. But yeah, I after like last night, I can really see, which I think is a very unique idea because it's usually the men kick the women out and it becomes the all boys club or whatever else. But I really
Oh.
can't think of another group where the women have kicked all the men out. And I think it's an intriguing idea.
You got to go
So,
to NXT where that happened once. Izzy Dame kicked out Brooks Jensen.
And then I seemingly took over, but I'll let you and Chris talk about that. But so it should go well.
I cannot wait to watch that episode.
Okay, so anyways,
Yeah, back to Judgment Day.
Yes. And well, there's that, but then Gunther and like so much happened on Raw. They kept it moving so quick. You forget about Jay's tantrum, LA Knight beating him, and then
Oh yeah, because we kind of skipped to the middle there.
yeah. And then Gunther and Solo stealing the show. Holy God, that was good. And I
That was
loved the
one
ending.
where I understood, I knew Chris and I have talked about it more, at least on the podcast here, that the whole Gunther's having matches that are probably too long situation. This one made sense. Like, there's no reason he should have trucked Solo Sikoa. Like, I know
No.
that Solo hasn't been like a top guy, but he also shouldn't have got trucked. And he's also probably the biggest opponent that Gunther's had to deal with.
I was trying to figure that out. And I forget he had Drew and Sheamus way back. But recently, absolutely, he's the biggest one. Well, Damian Priest, I guess.
Yeah,
But.
I wasn't trying to think too historically, but I guess I at least for because what it was Javon Evans in the first round,
Yeah.
and who did he wrestle in the second round? I feel like it was someone.
Carmelo.
Oh, Carmelo Hayes. Yeah, it's just like Solo Sikoa is a big boy, and especially when he gets some help from Tala Tonga.
Who's an impressive looking dude too.
Yeah, they might have something in that Tonga.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, this match was great. Everyone figured Gunther was going to win, as he should, right? But Solo
Yes.
got his stuff in. Solo got his personality over too, doing the taunt, or doing like Gunther's pose, and then he did something else. I can't remember. And then I love the fact Gunther just cheated to win, and he just went,
Oh.
"Yep, I might as well." And just straight, I mean, didn't even hide it, just straight kick to the balls and power bombs him and pins him. I'm like, wow, the ring general sure has changed, man. And
Yeah, that was the one
I
thing that I did kind of I thought it was a little bit weird. Michael Cole and was it Colin Barrett for
yeah,
or
it was
no,
called
but Te
it was
Tessa
Tessa
Barrett.
Barrett, yeah.
But they both set the stage where they're just like, oh, both these guys love to cheat. And I'm just like, really, Gunther? Like, I mean, he
Don't
just
cheat.
usually, yeah, I'm like, he
Yeah.
just really kind of beats you up. But then he ends up cheating to win. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I mean,
It's like, what, did
they
you guys
knew
know something
something.
we don't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like they knew something that we didn't.
Yeah, but it was just a nonchalant way he did it. And by the way, Gunther's the mat, like he's the best wrestler in the world. I don't care. I don't care. He is. There's no one better than him. I don't care about some guy in Japan. I don't care about Dave Meltzer's favorite. I don't care about the guys in AEW. Gunther's the best wrestler in the world, hands down. And he has a great match with everybody. He makes every match believable. Even this one, people honestly thought Solo was going to pin him here and there because of how he sells and how he works the matches. And, he made Solo look like $1 million, and Solo also put a very big deposit on that $1 million too. So it's like, all right, we finally get to do something with Solo, like finally.
Yeah,
And
he really held up his end of the bargain.
yeah, and I did like the tease of Jacob Fatu. They were giving you like just a little bit, like he coming back, maybe he's gonna interfere, but he's not cleared to come back yet, so no.
Oh.
But yeah, but no, I just Gunther doesn't have bad matches. He's gonna have a good one with LA Knight next week too. I like the fact LA Knight just came down and was like, yeah, we're doing this. So LA Knight's like looks like a badass, not scared of Gunther at all, which he shouldn't be, because he's LA Knight.
Yeah, he's the only other guy that I'm just like, I know that you and I have mentioned it on various shows that Gunther seemed like the most likely candidate for John Cena's last match.
Yeah.
I would not be offended if it's LA Knight.
No, I wouldn't either. I would not either. But it's gonna be Gunther. And
I'd still be surprised if it isn't
yeah.
Gunther.
Which I'm like, why does John want to do that? I'd be like, no, I'd rather have be LA Knight. But you gotta have plans for somebody if they're going against John Cena. You and
Oh.
they haven't really shown any plans for LA Knight in a long time. So he's
No.
always there. He's always in the mix. But he wasn't even in War Games, you know? So he wasn't even on the thing. So it's like, all right, well, we'll
Yeah, the
see,
man,
but
it is still impressive that that man has retained his popularity given
yep.
his si multiple situations
Yeah.
chronicled by
He's
pretty
just
much
loved.
everyone.
Yeah, he's just love. And then
Yeah,
we and
it's
I know
such a bad thing to happen to your career.
exactly.
Rolls
Yeah.
eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I know we had the tag team title match. That was fun. But the next big story was the end with all of their female or women main eventers all wrapped up in tag teams now, as well as having an actual women's main event scene. It's wild. That is wild that they can do
Yeah.
that.
And I was also sitting there thinking, I'm like, they're still missing Bianca Belair.
Yes.
And they're still pulling this off. Because, like you said, like Liv Morgan and Stephanie Vaquer, no problem holding that down. And we didn't talk about it, but it happened earlier in the show. I kind of dug the Maxine and Natalya video package that they did. So like you definitely have a story that you can tell with Maxine if you want to give her at least a decent run, as champion.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be the longest, but I do think it'll be something. And so yeah, like it is wild that they can spare Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Liv Morgan. Well, Liv Morgan did come out for this part, but they also have Lyra Valkyria, Bayley, Lash Legend, Nia Jax. I was immediately interested in the women's tag team division with this segment. Like that was honestly the best thing that came out of the War Games situation is
Yeah.
that somehow it set the table for this. And I mean, you've kind of been talking about it. Like you said, this was more interesting to me than what happened in War Games itself. Like having this many good women's tag teams, I'm like, hell yeah, let's fucking go. All of them can wrestle, and I'm still always thoroughly impressed that Lyra Valkyria can do what she can do in those giant chonky shoes that she always wears. Good Lord, woman. That
Yep.
is something.
Yeah. So I guess, well, how long we've been going? Because there's like one major story we've totally ignored.
Why don't we go ahead and end with that? I mean, that was the end of
Yeah.
Raw, and
Yeah,
we've
pretty much.
covered more than enough of War Games here.
Yeah. TNA made its way back to TV, huh? Wow.
It is wild to me that AMC is going to cover or going to have TNA on their programming. I have not thought about AMC in.
Yeah.
I tapped out of The Walking Dead before The Walking Dead was done.
Oh, I didn't. Right.
Because what? I guess I did see the Negan stuff. So I don't know when I tapped out of AMC, but it's been quite some time, I would have to imagine. Like, that show's probably been over longer than I think. Like, is it 2012 or something like that 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 show officially ended, or?
I have no idea. It's fine. It's gone. It sucks so bad at the end. And then the show never actually ended. They just broke it off into a bunch of miniseries, which I guess, they're still making money off them, so great. But she watches Interview with the Vampire, the TV show. And,
Oh,
ugh.
yeah.
But anyways, so that's where TNA is going. Thursday's January 15th from 9 to 11 with a live show. I mean, what are they making? $35 million off this deal? Like, it's not huge money, but why would it be being TNA? But it gets them in some ridiculous amount of homes.
Exclusively Thursday from 9 to 11 p.m. I mean, hey, the one thing with AMC that you don't have to worry about for a company, oh, let's say like AEW, AMC is not going to bump your programming because of live programming.
No, they will not ever. If someone sneezes, your show doesn't end up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. So, but it really is like a case of like, well, what's AMC got going for it? They got some decent shows on there, but nothing buzzworthy. Now, I don't think TNA is going to be buzzworthy, mind you, but it's better than being on Access TV, which no one even knows exists, you know?
Well, and it's just such a hard station to get. Yeah, I'm not seeing it for whatever reason. I'm not seeing a number in the report that I'm looking at here.
Well, it's funny. I'm on the AMC website, AMC.com, and under their featured shows is Best Christmas Ever. Okay. It's the time of year. Oh, sorry,
Yep.
it's a holiday season. Whatever. The very next thing is TNA Impact. Premieres January 15th. It's already on their website. I mean, I know it sounds stupid because no one really goes to websites, but I mean, they've already started.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, hey, whatever, website, app, it's the same thing. I guess if you have the AMC app, it's out there already. And I guess just because I have YouTube TV, oh my God, there could be we're gonna have to record a third day of the week just to cover TNA. You ready for a second show? Are we just gonna do like a 3 hour
I
show
have
every week?
TNA Plus. No one ever talks about it. So when I do bring it up in chat, Chris will just go, "I don't know why you watch that stuff." Well, cool. So that conversation's dead. So yeah, doing another show. So anyways, I mean, if you want to, fine. But no, it's hey, more wrestling is always better. Because I was just looking. I was trying to verify if it's true or not. But like it looks like Triller TV's in a lot of trouble. That has all the indie events and GCW and all that.
Oh.
They haven't even paid their lawyer in 2 months. So,
Does
or
not sound great.
they owe their lawyer $28,000 and hasn't communicated with their counsel in 2 months. So, an outlet for indie wrestling is probably going away, which sucks. It sucks for everyone. But YouTube's around. MLW's making their hay there. Other wrestling leagues, so it can be done. But
Yeah, AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling out of Cleveland moved over to the YouTube model a while ago, and they, I think it was $6.99 to get their pay-per-view live, or their show live this past week.
let's. My thing is, there are other brands, Prestige, what's real well, Reality Wrestling's Booker T's, the one that's out in the Pacific Northwest, Defy, they put their stuff on YouTube for free.
Oh.
You can still, if you get the presence, if you've got like the cult following or the following. you can still make money not charging people for it. I'd be very curious to see how
Uh-oh.
that business model works out. $7 for a pay-per-view for AIW. I've watched them. The production's not there, you know?
Oh, yeah. I
So.
haven't watched them in a since they moved over to YouTube. I don't believe I've watched them, and I know it's been a couple of years at this point. Not sure if production has improved in the meantime.
Yeah.
Somehow I doubt it. Like to
Yeah, I
me,
mean,
indie shows feel all the same. Like there's nothing outright terrible about it, but they also all kind of feel the same.
Yeah. So it's not the end of the world, but every one of them would love to get $33 million to be on AMC. You know? And that's the big thing. So it's like it's another wrestling show. I don't believe in oversaturation when it's something I like. Maybe it's addictive personality I have, but you know, it's good for them. 10 years, 10 years it's been, I think they said, since they've been on like a networked cable programming. So, which is like Anthem bought Access TV specifically to have a TV home for them, and now they're leaving. So it makes me wonder if Access TV is getting shut down. So you can only have so many live concerts of REO Speedwagon and Dan Rather documentaries with like John Fogerty. You know, I'm not bashing like saying they're bad, but you can only have it for so long.
Yeah, that station was not terribly enticing to me outside of at least when I had it, New Japan was on there.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still on there or not.
I believe that was on there until I got rid of it, went back to regular cable.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, that was such a strange thing. You'd be watching like a Steve Miller documentary and all of a sudden it's like, don't miss New Japan coming up. I'm like, by the way, these aren't crossing
Yes.
over. Like these audiences aren't crossing over. So, you know, but it's big. It'll give TNA some leeway because a lot of contracts are coming up. So now they can actually have like, all right, here's this. I haven't read the
Well,
details of the deal. So
and I guess the other thing that should be noted, as it was feared earlier in the day by some, but proven untrue, I suppose, in the long run here, that the WWE and TNA can still have crossover, even with this deal, so.
yeah, I know it sucks. I mean, it doesn't. I don't enjoy it anymore, but it doesn't suck for either one of them. It's been very beneficial for NXT and TNA. So, you know, like, good for them. It got TNA bigger crowds by putting like
And
NXT guys on there or having
it got
them.
him $35 million,
It sure as hell did. Yeah.
or
Yes.
at least helped.
Yeah. And I'm
At
sure there are going
least
to be people
helped.
that are going to scoff at that number. Oh, only 35 million? They were getting nothing before. Do you really think they were going to get AEW money? I mean, let's just like, there's no chance in hell WWE money. You know?
Yeah,
So.
that's the other weird thing. Like, I don't know what you were expecting, either. If that's what you thought, like,
Yeah.
it's another one. It's just like, just feels like you're not thinking with your brain.
Yeah. But I'd be curious if this puts them in the black finally. You know, they've been running red for a while, and hopefully it gets them the exposure, and hopefully it'll lead to more live event, like more larger live events. That's money,
Oh.
money, money. So, and maybe
Yep.
more TNA Plus subscriptions. So we'll see.
Yep.
So.
At different. Oh, bell time beer for the show. Mango Raja from the Brew Kettle, up near Cleveland, Ohio, in Strongsville. This is a very, very good. This is the mango version. So the White Raja itself is very tasty. But the mango just gives it a little extra punch. 6% alcohol, so it's a very light IPA that is obviously very mango-y. And these guys, if you actually go up there, they still have, should you want to brew your own home brew, they still have kettles for people to use if you want to do that thing. I unfortunately do not drink enough alcohol to do that thing anymore. So there is that. But Beltane
Loser.
beer, also worth noting, their food is very tasty. Their horseradish, should one be a participant in said taste, is very, very good. For yeah, their horseradish dip is outstanding. So there's that. Beltane beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand's at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.